two F-35s take a long cross country. Pratt & Whitney fires back at the F-136. And Europe continues wrestling with a volcano. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 20th, 2010. Two F-35A Lightning II stealth fighters flew nonstop from their final assembly site in Fort Worth, Texas, to Edwards Air Force Base in California Monday. It's the first multi-ship, long-range F-35 flight, and the Air Force says it signals a further expansion of F-35 flight test operations. The F-35A is the conventional takeoff and landing variant, designed to meet U.S. Air Force requirements, and is also the primary export version of the Lightning II. The Air Forces of Italy, the Netherlands, Turkey, Canada, Australia, Denmark, and Norway will all use it. During their deployment at Edwards, the planes will undergo flight and ground testing to evaluate propulsion, aerial refueling, logistical support, weapons integration, and flight envelope expansion. After last week's vote by two U.S. House subcommittees to provide $485 million in funding next fiscal year to keep the GE Rolls-Royce F-136 engine program alive, competitor Pratt & Whitney is deploying some PR assets to fight back. Pratt & Whitney won the contract to provide the F-135 engine as the sole power plant for the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, but GE and Rolls have succeeded in convincing some lawmakers that program risks will be reduced if a competing engine is also available. The partners say development of the 136 is 70% complete, and it will be in flight testing next year. Pratt & Whitney has launched a new series of web videos highlighting big-name opposition to a parallel engine program, featuring floor speeches from Senators Joe Lieberman, John McCain, Saxby Chambliss, and James Inhofe. In one video, Lieberman argues, quote, "Not only do we not need it, the Air Force testified before our committee that if we spend this money on a second engine, we are going to get, by General Shackelford's testimony to us, 53 fewer Joint Strike Fighters in the next 5 years. That is a serious consequence," unquote. On the other side of the debate, at last week's subcommittee markups that included funding for the competing engine program, Air Land Subcommittee Chairman Adam Smith offered the eggs-in-one-basket argument. Quote, "The committee has believed that competition helps insure against the operational risk of up to 95% of the entire U.S. tactical fighter fleet being grounded due to an engine problem," unquote. This Icelandic volcano is nothing if not a learning experience for European airports and airlines. It turns out that Sunday night closure of London Heathrow and other UK airports was in reaction not to an actual ash cloud, but to the forecast of dangerous ash levels from the UK Meteorological Office, and that forecast turned out wrong. When the office sent planes to actually check the ash levels in the air, they found that would not have been dangerous to airliners. The closures lasted about 10 hours, scrubbing between 350 and 400 flights just at Heathrow and Gatwick. The London Daily Mail reports that authorities have since doubled the concentration of ash permissible for flights lasting an agreed-to maximum number of minutes, but airlines will have to have the permission of both the aircraft and engine manufacturers to qualify. Officials say they hope that the new parameters will generate a level of cancellations more like a weather event, which is much more bearable for both passengers and the airline industry. Up next on ANN, 8 decades of Boeing in one photo. 737 production will be stepped up to meet demand, and we may one day fly the double bubble. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, You'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ-2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 20th. I'm Paul Platt. Something you might call a civilian heritage flight took place May 8th in the skies over Washington State near Mount Rainier. In what had to require careful planning considering the difference in performance, the new Boeing 787 Dreamliner was captured in the same frame with Addison Pemberton's 1928 Boeing Model 40, the only one still flying anywhere in the world. The Model 40 was Boeing's first production commercial airplane. The shot was taken at 12,000 feet by photographer Ryan Pemberton. Boeing chief test pilot Mike Carriker was at the controls of the Dreamliner. Quote, "When I came alongside the Model 40 against those big puffy clouds, it was unbelievable. Here is this 1928 biplane flying with a 2010 airplane side by side. How amazing the history of the Boeing company is. It was really exciting." Unquote. The photo is really cool. See it in the text version of this story, dated May 19th, at aero-news.net. You can find lots about the Dreamliner on Boeing's website. You can catch my interview with Addison Pemberton and learn more about the history of the Model 40 in general and this stunning example in particular in the archives at aero-tv.net, dated October 2nd, 2009. It's the Boeing 787 Dreamliner that makes the headlines these days, but it's still the stalwart 737 that pays the bills. Boeing says it will ramp up production rates on its next-gen 737s about 8% in early 2012, from the current 31.5 units per month to 34, and may consider further increases in the future to meet customer demand. Marketing VP Randy Tinseth explains, quote, "The global economy continues to recover this year, and we believe that airlines will return to profitability in 2011. We believe that there will be an increased demand for airplanes, especially in the market served by the next generation 737 in 2012 and beyond." Unquote. The change should have no material impact on 2010 financials, according to the company. 5,200 737s have been sold to date. If a team from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology is right, the airliners of tomorrow could make the Dreamliner look like an antique and burn as much as 70% less fuel. An MIT effort under contract for NASA has produced proposed designs which would drastically cut fuel consumption, emissions, and noise. One design, called the Double Bubble, got its name because the fuselage is formed from two parallel tubes with intersecting circumferences, reminiscent of the way two soap bubbles join together. Its engines are mounted at the rear of the fuselage, where they ingest boundary layer air to produce more thrust for a given amount of fuel consumed. MIT says the Double Bubble would replace today's single-aisle, twin-engine, medium-haul airliners. For bigger loads and longer routes, the team proposes what it calls the H model, with a radical triangular shape to the fuselage, which blends a wider body with the wings. NASA is expected to take several months to decide on funding for further development of the concepts. Still ahead, happy birthday, Caravan! Britain's database passenger screening may be ending, and this guy's car insurance company is having a really bad day. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 20th. I'm Paul Plack. Cessna is celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Caravan this year, and also will celebrate the type's 2,000th delivery later this year. The company says owners of legacy caravans can now enjoy a new seating option. Peter Wilkinson, Cessna's Parts Distribution VP, elaborated, quote, "The new seats offer added comfort and seat functionality for passengers compared to the factory-installed seats. The seat height will allow passengers a better view. They also include optional tray tables, forward and aft tracking, adjustable headrests, retractable armrests, and the ability to recline," unquote. The option is available through 300 authorized Cessna service centers worldwide. The Caravan is certified in 100 countries, and the fleet has logged more than 12.9 million flight hours. The fear of abuse of personal information and government power may be about to halt Britain's database vetting of airline passengers. The London Daily Mail reports that millions of British travelers have had their financial records and personal associations checked against a national police database before being allowed to fly. The paper cites police sources in reporting that authorities are holding on to 14,000 reports on travelers for future use, including details such as whether a passenger ordered a vegetarian meal, requested an overwing seat, or was accompanied by a foreign-born spouse. It also flags people buying one-way tickets or booking seats at the last minute, or who display a history of booking flights and then not taking them. All the personal details you'd give a travel agent are also stored, including name, address, phone, email, passport info, and the names of family members. The British Home Office says the system has been used to apprehend murderers and rapists, and that it's led to the prevention of 1,000 people from entering the country, but apparently no terrorist intercepts have been logged. The previous Labour government of Gordon Brown spent $1.7 billion administering the system. David Cameron's new coalition government is reportedly considering scrapping it. And finally today, a driver was charged with DUI Monday morning after his car went off Airport Road in Destin, Florida, crashed through the airport fence, and hit two parked Cirrus SR22s at the Destin airport. The Okaloosa County Sheriff charged 30-year-old Brian Moen of Destin with DUI and refusing to submit to a breathalyzer test. This is an insurance underwriter's definition of a bad day. Local media reports that damage totaled $500,000. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, a conversation I had with Betty Wilson of the Virginia Aviation Ambassadors Awards Program, which will be represented at this weekend's Virginia Regional Festival of Flight. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.